Help us each, our God, to ponder anew what you have done in each of our lives, how you have helped us, you who are the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you that our help is from you and you alone. Amen. Well, we've just had the psalm read. I wonder if you have ever thought to yourself, what would my life be like if some significant event that I've experienced didn't actually happen? What would my life be like if I never met my spouse? What would my life be like if I had failed that exam? What would my life be like if I had got that job? What would my life be like if I didn't move house at that time? Psalm 124 imagines what life would be like if God did not intervene and help. In some ways, this psalm is the inverse of John Lennon's song, Imagine. John Lennon imagines a world without God or heaven, and he thinks that it would be a pretty good place. But Psalm 124 imagines what would happen without God, and it is an awful, bleak picture. So this psalm, a pilgrimage psalm on the way to the temple, written by King David or in a Davidic style, is a thought experiment. It's a let's pretend, and it's structured if, then, but, therefore. If, then, but, therefore. If God were not with us, then things would be dismal. But he is. Therefore, reality is better. That's how it's structured in the Hebrew. Maybe it doesn't quite come across so clearly in the NIV Bibles. If, then, but, before. And knowing that God has intervened, this psalm encourages us to do three things in response to God. So let's look at the first five verses, which remind us first to, in your life, recognize and affirm the difference that God makes. Recognize the difference that God makes. Have a look with me again at verse 1. The key word is, of course, if, a tiny word with big implications. If Yahweh, the God of Israel, if the Lord had not been on our side, had not been with us, same root as the word Emmanuel, if God had not been on our side, a paraphrase says, all together now, Israel, sing it out. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, that would have been it. We would have been destroyed. Of course, the psalm is unspecific about particular enemies in a particular context. We're just not told. Is it the crisis of Hezekiah's day in the middle of the book of Isaiah? Is it the Babylonian exile of Judah, or looking back on that exile in Nehemiah's time? Or if Davidic of David in the heading is a reference to the time of King David himself rather than just written later in a Davidic style, then does it refer to enemies of King David in his time, a Philistine attack maybe? We're just not told. John Goldingay in his commentary, he points out that the very fact it is unspecific facilitates its use in different contexts. And even more, the attempt to anchor this psalm to a context in some ways works against its own nature, works against its own aim. Because we too, today, even now, can say in our very different situations, verse 2, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. You get the idea. It wouldn't have been a slow rising water causing a little bit of flood damage to your house, as happened as we know, sadly, in Gloucester and in Tewkesbury in 2007. We're talking here about a tsunami where the rushing waters swallow us alive, sweeping us up, sweeping everything in its path. Verse 4 is the torrent would have passed right over us, over our being, over our neck, figuratively over our very life. We would have been drowned if the Lord had not been on our side. It would have been all over. All over. But it's not all over. It's not all over. We survived the attack. And the bottom line is we're still here because the Lord is on our side. In the same way that that was true for Israel against the enemy. That's how this psalm was used. That is true for every believer. Because, Romans 8, 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? We know he is because he did not spare his one and only son for us. So whenever we doubt and whenever our faith is challenged, it's a good thing to do to look back on past deliverances and even look back on all the might-have-beens in your life to give you confidence in the present and to give you hope for the future. Because this psalm prompts us, doesn't it, to ask, well, where would I be without God? Where would I be without God? And if God is for us, who can be against us? Two questions we must always ask. Where would I be without God? And if God is for us, who can be against us? Perhaps when we think of God being with us, God being on our side, our minds go to the classic poem, Footprints in the Sand, which someone I knew was convinced was in the Bible somewhere. My wife tells me that in China, Christians sing Footprints in the Sand as a hymn. But that poem makes a serious point, doesn't it? You look back over your life, and there's two sets of footprints in the sand. That's the Lord with us, on our side, keeping us, sustaining us, communing with us, looking after us, talking to us. And if you wonder why for some scenes in your life there was only one set of footprints, then the poem goes, that's when the Lord carried you. And that's an encouraging punchline, isn't it? Another encouraging, albeit facetious, punchline to that poem was introduced to me by our dear friend, the late David Shoesmith, member here at Cambrai for many years. He shared with me Tim Vine's ending to that poem. Why, Lord, during the most troublesome times of my life, was there only one set of footprints? Oh, my child, during those times, to cheer you up, I thought we could both hop. God is with us. God is with us. He's on our side. He's on our side through the ups and the downs. Yes, the ups and downs of hopping, but moreover, the ups and downs of life. And the Christian life has many ups and many downs. The reason we know that God is with us is, as Romans said, because he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a redeeming sacrifice for our sins, rising again to defeat death, to defeat sin, to gain the victory over death and sin, his Spirit living in us as we live for his kingdom today. So recognize the difference that God makes in your life. Where would you be without God? And if God is for us, who can be against us? Second, in your life, praise God for his protection and for his deliverance. Let's read again from verse 6. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. So now we've moved from what might have happened to what actually did happen. You see, God not only delivers you from potential dangers, verse 1 to 5, he also delivers you from present dangers, verse 6 and 7. And we move from floods to wild animals. Animals who want to tear you with their teeth. But God did not let that happen to you. Now, this psalm is not promising that nothing bad ever happens to believers. It's not promising us that. As we heard this morning, we have to put it alongside every other psalm. We have to put it alongside everything that happens to God's people in the Bible. The Christian life is not a bed of roses, is it? But it is saying that sometimes we will actually be trapped. We will be caught in the snare. Verse 7, but God will help us escape. The snare has been broken and we will have escaped. It's not promising no trouble, no snares, but it is saying God helps us escape. And this is another image, isn't it, of our utter dependence on God. Because you don't get out of a snare by yourself, do you? Only God can get you out of the snare. There was a film made by Danny Boyle in 2010 called 127 Hours. I wonder if anyone's seen it here. Starring James Franco, based on the real-life story of a hiker who must find a way to escape after he gets trapped by a boulder in an isolated area in the Grand Canyon with only a pocket knife to use. And he lasts 127 hours waiting for help before he takes matters into his own hands, or rather, he takes matter away from his own hand. I won't say any more, but that was a strong hint about how he escaped. The point is, there is great difficulty in freeing yourself from the snare. We need God to help us escape. Because once you're trapped, you're trapped. But here God comes along and the psalmist says he breaks the snare and then you escape. And actually, the word that the writer uses here for escape, it leaves it a little bit ambiguous as to whether escape means theologically being delivered by God or whether it's just the ordinary literal meaning, being an escape from a physical trap. So it is possible to apply this to our spiritual deliverance. God helps you escape from sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So God provides the escape route for specific sins. But more generally, God delivers us, doesn't he, from a lifetime of being trapped in sin. 2 Timothy 2 talks about escaping the trap of the devil. Jesus came along and he sprung the trap and he set us free. The good news of Psalm 124 is that what might have happened didn't happen. You might have been trapped in sin for life. That didn't happen if you are a believer here today. You might have died without Christ. If you are a believer, that didn't happen. And the reason it didn't happen is because of God. God makes all the difference. God is the one who helps us against all the odds, even when no one else helps us. And so we praise him. We praise him for his protection. We praise him for his deliverance. That's the second application of these verses this evening. Praise God for his deliverance in your life. But third and finally, in your life, tell others how God has helped you. Tell others how God has helped you. How do you acknowledge your complete and utter dependency on God? Well, first, we've talked of affirmation, recognizing the difference God makes. Second, praising God, praising him for his protection and his deliverance in your life. But third, testify. Testify. Tell others how God has helped you. Share it. Have a look again at verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the maker of heaven and earth. Echoes of the opening of Psalm 121 we looked at 3 weeks ago. Why have you and I escaped? Because the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is on your side. And if the Lord made the heavens and the Lord made the earth, then he can do anything. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is all-sovereign. He is able. You can trust him. You can depend on him. The psalmist is testifying that the Lord is the one who helped him when he was in trouble. And we need to do the same, don't we? We need to tell others how God has helped us. We need to give glory to God for what he's done. Yes, by thanking him and praising him, but by telling others what he's done in our life. And in so doing, we encourage others to depend upon God. God can use your testimony to encourage others and to encourage them in their recognition of their need for God, to understand that they too are completely dependent on God and that they cannot be delivered without him. That is true whether someone is a believer or not yet a believer. Do you depend on God? Do you testify to the fact that God has helped you? Do you share that with others so that others too can depend upon God, not on themselves? Supposedly, Muhammad Ali, the boxer, he was on a plane once, and the air stewardess told him to put on his seatbelt. And Muhammad Ali was supposed to have said, "Well, Superman don't need no seatbelt." To which the stewardess, of course, replied, "Well, Superman don't need no plane either." It's easy to think that we don't need God's help, even as believers. And so we need reminding again and again from each other. We need testimony from one another that our help is in the latest evangelistic craze? No. That our help is in the latest and most up-to-date worship songs? No. Certainly not. That our help is in having a really good home group? Well, yes, but not our ultimate help. That our help is in having a church that is committed to expositional preaching? Really? Is that where our help is? No, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so we affirm the difference that he's made in our lives. We praise God for his protection and his deliverance in our life. And we tell others how the maker of heaven and earth has helped us. Because if the Lord had not been on our side, the psalmist says, altogether now, let the whole church say, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swept away. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have perished. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been trapped. If the Lord had not been on our side, there would have been no hope and no deliverance and no salvation. But our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen to that. We want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, maker of heaven and earth, that you are on our side. You have showed that you are on our side by not sparing your only son, but giving him up for us. Thank you that shows that will you not truly give us all things? Thank you, our God, for what you've done, intervening in history, showing that you are on our side. Thank you that we can truly say that you are our help. You have freed us from sin. Thank you for your protection in our lives. Thank you for your deliverance. Help us to put our help and our hope in you. Help us to put you first, that you might remain our help through endless days, we pray. Amen.